Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for April 23rd, 2007, episode 25. Welcome back, everybody. We are the Angry Admins. I am Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Welcome back to the show. This week, we're going to talk about the latest tech news and some of the things we like to do after work in our After 5 segment, where we kick up our feet and talk about gaming, books, and a few other fun topics.
On the radar this week, some news from Dell, and it's not good news. The first quarter 07 earnings are in, and Dell is performing partially sucktastic. Even the return of Michael Dell to Dell has not brought Dell out of hell.
Now, he's only been back for like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, but I'm still going to blame him for all the problems.
He shouldn't have left. I mean...
It's like, hey, we're dying here. Bring Michael Dell back. Quick, fix it. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
But... So yeah, their earnings are in. They're not doing great. I think they're slipping down further past HP and some of the top guys. So I don't know. They've also said that Dell is going to bring back XP as a choice when you're buying a Dell.
Score one for users.
Right, because everyone complained and said, what do you mean I have to have Vista? I heard Vista was awful. So yeah, Dell said, well, all right, we get it. We're going to put XP back as a possible... choice when you're configuring your system for home users.
Well, they had to do this. I mean, Vista just isn't performing like everyone was hoping it would. You know, and I've said this for a while now, you know, and I've heard this from other people, but it takes Microsoft basically three tries to get it perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, XP, it was released, it was pretty good. I think XP was better in the initial release than Vista is now, but you know, by Service Pack 2, you know, which is the third release, basically, of XP, it was fantastic, you know. They finally added all the security features we needed, and all the back end was pretty solid. I mean, my XP installs are pretty stable now. I would say as stable as any OS X install I've ever run. Maybe not quite as stable as Linux, but it's pretty well done.
Right. So. And it's like, okay, so Vista was 10% better looking than XP,
right. But
80%... less reliable.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I haven't had Vista, like, totally crash on me, just where it just melted down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of my apps don't work, and we've talked about this in detail before, so I won't go into it. But I'm really glad to see Dell, who is, you know, still looked to, even though their shares are down, as the leader in, you know, what do we offer home users? Well, you look to Dell, and you kind of base it off of that, it seems like. So good job for them.
Yeah. So this brings up the question of whether XP is really competing with Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does, you know, Apple used to have this problem where they would have, you know, competing product lines, you know, shooting each other down. So now, does Windows, can they afford to take the beating? So here's Microsoft's choice. They pull XP off the shelves.
Which is what they've said they're pulling OEM last week.
But. So if I go into a store and there's no SKU there for the XP anymore, and then can they afford to take XP off the shelf and leave me with only one bad choice, which is Vista?
Right.
So I mean that has to hurt their sales.
Yeah, I would think so. And you know, I mean, I'm still recommending people don't get Vista if they can help it. So
yeah.
I would say yes, Vista and XP are in competition, and I think Microsoft sees it that way. You know, that one, they don't want to support Vista or support XP because, first of all, it can run on older machines, so they have to support these old junky machines that have weird hardware. And you know, we said last week they're going to be pulling it from OEM. So I'm not even sure how Dell is managing to do this. I don't know if they're working a deal with some retailer to get a discount because they can't pay retail price for it. That would just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess the computer shippers really are the ones being screwed by this. I mean, because if you buy either one, Microsoft still gets the money. It's the people that have to support it, load it.
Right.
You know, those people are really getting hosed.
And Microsoft does get burned a little bit. If somebody buys a computer today with XP, that means for at least the next 2 years, Microsoft, you know, they're going to be expecting full support from Microsoft, which is why they're wanting to slowly pull it out, because they don't want to keep patching XP, because there are still holes in it. You know, they have to keep... It's their responsibility to keep it patched. So, you know, they want to look forward to Vista, which is conceivably more secure, though more frustrating to run.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, It's interesting to see this.
Yeah. So what else is out there?
So Jack Thompson.
Mm.
If you don't know who he is a lawyer. I think he's from Florida, who has been after violent video games for years now. You know, he went after the Grand Theft Auto guys, and who is Take-Two Interactive. That's the company. And, you know, everybody always listens to him because he talks really loud. And well, he finally actually got burned. He had to settle out of court with Take-Two, who he was going after. So he had to pay them money because they were suing him for, like, libel or something. Because he was basically telling people that they were breaking the law by selling these games. I mean, this guy is a moron, you know. He should just be disbarred. And I think he's been told he can't pursue law in Florida anymore. He has to go to another state now.
In your face, Thompson.
So, you know, good thumbs up for violent video games for people who should be using them.
And who would that be?
Me. I need some energy and excitement. If I don't play violent video games, I just sit there and do nothing.
Well, my excuse is I play violent video games so that I'll be ready when real-world violence happens.
That's right. That's right. So either way, you know, this is good to me because, you know, violent video games are blamed for everything. And, you know, with everything that's been going on lately, everybody's going to keep putting the scrutiny on video games for the cause of things. And
right.
We need some personal responsibility instead of blaming something else. So we saw something else this week, Ryan. What else did you see?
Well, MySpace, everyone's favorite... Oh, wait, no, it's not. MySpace has decided they're going to jump onto the news digging bandwagon, and they're getting ready to roll out the MySpace News. And this, I don't really know if it's a good idea, but I guess all the millions of MySpace kids who know nothing about the news will be able to vote up their favorite news.
This is what's going to save MySpace.
You think?
Take something that lots of other people are already doing, bring it into a website that nobody cares about anymore.
And try to resurrect it.
Yeah, you know? This I don't like MySpace. I never have. This is going to make no difference. MySpace will never recover. And in fact, I keep, you know, more and more people are fleeing to what is it, Facebook?
Right.
I mean, I even have a Facebook site. Now, how long will they last there? You know, 2 seconds until somebody else has something better.
But I guess it could always be like the Britney Spears news and the entertainment news and...
Yeah, but I mean, you've got, you know, Netscape is trying to do this and they cover all the news. I mean, Dig has expanded into other categories, which is really kind of the downfall of the site, but I don't know. I mean, is MySpace really important anymore?
They still have all this inertia, I would say, but
yeah.
They're not culturally relevant as in they're not the next thing anymore.
I guess it depends how they integrate it into the site and how well. It just depends if people use it. I mean, that's really what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see all these sites now that have this ability to, like, vote up stories. Yeah. And if it's not dig.com, it just seems weak and contrived.
The way you know whether or not these voting sites are working is by how many votes the top stories have. If they have less than
17 votes.
Less than 20 or less than 10, chances are pretty good no one's using it.
Right. But it is sad that, you know, dig.com is still, and probably, I guess, Delicious uses this to the voting, or no?
I don't know. I've never used Delicious.
Okay. But
I think it does something.
It's a shame that, you know, dig.com is so huge now, but now they're starting to kind of suck.
Yeah.
Because of,
you know,
it's so popular
that
now it's watered down.
My theory on that whole thing is, you know, I feel like it kind of goes in waves. You know, they get all these new users because they get covered on a news story or something.
Mm-hmm.
The new users flood the story with crappy stories everybody's already read 400 times. And then, like, they change their algorithm or they do some other things or the users figure it out. And then it kind of goes back to being a little bit better again.
Mm-hmm.
And then back up, you know, we get more users, it gets crappy, and then back. And I think it's always going to be like that. And you just kind of have to, you know, take a couple weeks off when it starts getting crappy again.
Right. So after a long, dormant, sleeping phase, Google is on the counterattack.
Yes, they have done some craziness this week. They, you know, the biggest news is they bought DoubleClick, which is, you know, basically going to double their ad space, I guess I would call it. You know, their interaction. They basically own online advertising now.
Right.
Because DoubleClick was really the only other big name out there. So that's huge. They have bought Smile. Or no, not Smile. Something else. They bought some video conferencing software, which, you know, that's obviously going to be part of Google Talk and maybe some corporate thing.
I could see them rolling that into their pseudo office package type thing.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and Google Talk, you know, not many people use it, but it's really an amazing web chat. I mean, that's really their focus now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works really well. The voice chat on that is probably the clearest I've ever used. It's better than Skype, actually.
Wow.
But just not many people are using it, so it's hard to use.
And it's a totally separate product than the chat that's within Gmail, right?
That's actually the same thing. That's the cool thing about it. You can download this app, though only for Windows right now. You download this app that you run, and then you can also, so when you're at work, you can run your chat right inside your Gmail, and it's the same thing.
See, now that's cool.
So it's pretty nice. And the nice thing about the online one is it gets around all the firewalls and everything. So
right.
No content filtering is going to keep that out.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else did Google have this week? They so they have their online office suite, right? Word, Excel. That's about it. What was the big one that's missing? Presentation. PowerPoint.
Yep.
And it's been confirmed this week that they are developing a PowerPoint-type software. And they've also released some updates to their spreadsheet. Now you can do graphs. And, you know, it's the same thing they've done with all their software. They release a basic version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in beta, in quotes. And so that tests how many users can use it. And then they just slowly add features. And people just keep piling on. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so, you know, that's Google. I don't think I'll ever use a web app office suite as my only suite, but it's nice to have, you know, if I'm at somebody's house or whatever and I need access to it. So
I would like, the win for me is to have multiple PCs if I don't want to buy. I think the last Microsoft Office I owned was like Office 97.
Wow.
So that's old, right? So, it would be nice for me to have something aside from OpenOffice that I could get to online. And if I'm on some PC that I rarely use, it's like, man, I just want to make a quick document or whatever. You know, don't make me use WordPad. Although I am a pretty, for me, Notepad and WordPad, I'm still using it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, the Google Word, whatever it's called, document thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really doesn't have anything that WordPad doesn't have. I mean, it's basically the same app.
Mm-hmm.
It's just online. And I've used the online one. And, you know, it's nice because you can collaborate. That's really, I think, what they're pushing is the collaboration stuff where you can share it with other people and everybody can edit at the same time.
Oh, I can
which
see
Microsoft
that.
Has had, but nobody ever uses it because it's
buried so deep.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, no one can find it.
I don't know. Jeez. But it's interesting. I mean, Google, they're going to keep making money until they do something stupid like sell everybody's name to the FBI for $5,000 a piece. But
right.
So, you know, they're looking good, but there's another company that's not doing as well.
And that would be, does their name start with an A?
It does.
And does it end with a MMD?
Yes.
Yeah, so AMD, they're kind of on the rocks. They're reporting $611 million in losses.
Ouch.
So, yeah, they're blaming just overall declining microprocessor sales. And I'm not sure if the business sector's contributing to this more or if it's home users that aren't, you know, doing this as much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, their statement that they got made by this top CEO was like, oh, after many years of gigantic growth, you know, we had a slight stumble and we're going to address it and it's unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I don't know. They were saying that the Computing Solutions Group sales were $918 million before, and now they're down like 38%. So,
wow.
I mean, this is like a huge drop. Intel, you know, they're really just making these aggressive strides forward.
Yeah.
And AMD, you know, I thought with the ATI AMD thing that it's like, oh, this they're going to be a new superpower, you know, but that happened and you just, I mean, what? I mean, nothing's coming out of it, and maybe I'm second guessing or expecting something to happen too fast, but
it may just be too soon to see any fruits of that. I mean, part of this loss is $113 million that they spent on ATI. But I think the big thing is that, you know, AMD was taking the lead in performance. You know, they had the top-end server, they had the top-end home desktop chip, and then it's like Intel, like, just let them get ahead and kind of sat back and developed these new processors that they're using based on the Pentium M. You know, all these, the Core Duo, are just amazing. You know, low power, high speed, and they just blown past them again, and that's all it took, because, you know, Intel, they have the history, and so people are like just waiting for them to catch up and jumping back on the bandwagon. So for our toolbox this week, we have kind of a fun little cross-platform app that I discovered a few months back. And this app is it runs on your phone. So this is kind of unique for us. It will run on Windows Mobile phones, I think some Symbian phones, and that's really about it. There's about 100, 120 phones that it supports. So it supports quite a number of phones. This app is called Solling Clicker. We will have a link in the show notes to that because it's spelled kind of funny. But the whole point of this app is remote control of your computer. So what you do is you install this app on your desktop, Windows or Mac, and you set it up, and then you have to connect via either Bluetooth, or if your phone has Wi-Fi, it'll do over Wi-Fi as well.
Oh, nice.
And it will spam this program to your phone. You install it on your phone, and then what you can do is control things like iTunes, PowerPoint, Windows Media Player. You can even open up certain mail apps it supports. On the Mac side, it supports like iPhoto, so I can go to the photography section, open up iPhoto slideshow. It launches iPhoto for me right from the phone. It's asked me if I want to launch iPhoto. I hit yes, launches iPhoto. Then on my phone, I can select the album, you know. So I've got some pictures on here, I select it, and then I can control the slideshow from my phone, move it forward, pause, restart, go back. It's really just a fun little app, you know, to kind of show off if you've got a new phone and you want to show off some software.
Mm-hmm.
It's not free, it's $23.95. But if you want to try it out, you can find it on, you know, like Pirate Bay or one of the other torrent sites. And they do actually also have a demo. I think it's a 30-day demo. Only allows certain types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the iTunes part on Windows and Mac is really probably the best part for me. You know, if you don't want to spend $400 on an Apple TV because you just spent $400 on a phone, you can run this app, and it'll actually display your album art right on your phone.
Oh, nice.
So you can see the album art, and you can skip tracks, you can control volume. It's just a fun little app that you can do all these little remote activities from your phone without, you know, having some weird interface. It's a nice clean interface. Everything's easy to do. And then if you can't do something on this app that you want to do, you can just control the mouse and go to town.
So let me ask this. So obviously it makes your phone into sort of a remote,
right,
for your PC, but can it also pull pictures? Like, say if you're going through Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, whatever, if you want to look at that slideshow on your phone, can you do that?
My phone doesn't show any photos on the iPhoto library, so I'm not sure if maybe a more advanced phone, mine's kind of an older smartphone. Mm-hmm. The only pictures I ever really saw were on the album art.
Right.
So I don't know if you can see slideshows maybe on one of the more advanced phones that works.
So like maybe the brand new phone, if you have an MP3 player on your phone,
right,
you could pull music off your computer through the Bluetooth and listen to it maybe.
It's really not for that kind of thing. It's actually really just for controlling your computer.
I got you.
So the idea would be you have a laptop, you throw it up on your stereo cabinet, you hook it up to your stereo, hook it up to your TV, and then instead of having to get some expensive, you know, Logitech remote or use the little tiny remote from Apple with no functionality, you use this and control the apps you want to run, and it's really easy to do.
Nice.
So
okay, that makes sense.
Or here's really the win. If you have Wi-Fi, say you have a desktop PC upstairs that you have hooked up to speakers, that are like kind of running all over the house or something.
Oh yeah,
you control it via Wi-Fi, and you've got a remote that works anywhere in the house. So it does all those things, all the remote functionality. But then a couple cool things that it can do. It uses, you know, proximity with your Bluetooth device. So I have this hooked up. I walk away, and it mutes my iTunes, and then automatically puts my computer into screensaver. So I walk away. I don't have to think about stopping everything and locking my computer. I can just walk away. Once it loses contact with my phone, boom, goes into screensaver with a password, mutes everything, so I'm not bothering, you know, my CubeMates. The other cool thing, too, is if your phone rings, it'll display on your PC the number.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And if you have it linked to, like, your address book, it'll show the name, even. And then when you answer, mutes and pauses iTunes.
Oh, no, that's pretty sweet.
And sets your iChat kind of stuff to away. Uh-huh. And then when you hang up, everything comes back. Sets you as, you know, you're there, everything starts playing again. It's very cool.
Okay, how about when you come back to your desk, does it
There are some add-ons that let you do that. It's kind of a security thing because you have to kind of save your password in this file. Oh. So I don't really recommend it until they find a secure way to store the password.
But yeah, I see where they're going.
People are working on it, and once that happens, that'll really be a killer app because you don't ever have to do anything. You just walk up to your PC and you log in. How sweet is that?
That's pretty cool. That's a cool app for
$20. Cool. So, you know, go to the website. We'll have a link in the show notes, and go check out the software. It's very cool, and, you know, not a whole lot of money, but they let you try it out. So if you like it, you can pay the money.
So we're coming up on our six-month anniversary for Angry Admins, and Joe and I have been talking about our format, and I believe that there are some weeks that there's not, I mean, obviously there's going to be slower news weeks, you know, right, that come along every once in a while, and you struggle for, well, you know, can we get an interview in here, you know, what are we going to talk about, and we've already beat this to death, and blah, 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 and, you know, Joe and I, we like a lot of stuff that, you know, is on the periphery of tech, mm-hmm, you know, but maybe it's not tech related. And there are other things that we like to talk about, which are not, you know, pure tech. So we've done this a couple times before. We had sort of an after five segment,
right?
Like, what do we do after work to unwind,
mm-hmm,
this and that. So I think what may be coming down the pipe is we're going to have some different segments that we rotate in and out,
yeah,
after we do news. And one of those will be after five, where we talk about, you know, music, books, TV, video games, movies, you know, just whatever we're kind of doing after, mm-hmm, work, you know, stuff that we're into. And we may have some other segments that, you know, I don't want to divulge right now because they're in development, which means we haven't decided. But yeah, so this week we want to try out like another after five segment and just kind of talk about some of the stuff that we've been enjoying and just sort of lighten it up a little bit so that it's not all just this heavy steel tech that, yeah, we drop in your lap.
Well, and you know, we just want to talk about this stuff, and you know, everybody likes to talk about it, but we still want to stay focused on IT, so that'll be still the majority of our main stories is IT, sysadmin, you know, workplace and home gadgets and that kind of thing.
Right. We're not changing the podcast into, right, a pop culture podcast.
But so, consider this like a break from our doldrum of talking about boring stuff.
Right. Apple stock numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that we talk about that stuff too much. You know, with that in mind, Joe, what have you been, you know, diving into lately?
Well, my big thing to kill time lately has been playing my Xbox 360. And there's some games coming down the pipe that I'm pretty excited about, actually. There's, you know, this game called Halo.
Halo?
That you may have heard of.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
They're making, I think it's the third one.
Really? Already?
Yeah. So the big news in Halo 3 this week was the release of I think it was like the multiplayer video, and it was kind of like a behind-the-scenes look at the multiplayer aspects of Halo 3. You can, mm-hmm, download it right on your 360. I honestly don't know if they have it anywhere else. I'm sure it's on YouTube and probably on the Xbox website, but...
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a really neat video. They showed in development of the game, and they showed, you know, the testers playing the game and showing different choke points and how people aren't quite using it how they thought they would. And The beta is coming out soon, I think next month. If you purchased Crackdown, you got this beta key, which I haven't done, so I won't get to play it. But there's going to be a lot of people playing Halo 3 soon, and I'm looking forward to it. The graphics don't look... They're not Gears of War graphics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the classic Halo clean look.
Right.
I'm not expecting a whole lot in the graphics department. You know, it'll just be higher res on the 360, but... Man, Halo's just always good for some multiplayer action, and man, nothing saves me from a day of stupid users more than shooting some people in the face.
So what other games are you looking
at? So some racing games I think we're both excited about. Dirt is the new Colin McRae, is that right?
Colin McRae.
It looks fantastic. It's a rally racing game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just super detailed. The environments look fantastic. It look like you have a lot of cars to choose from. Mm-hmm. You know, everything from dirt tracks to going up a mountain road to just like a more traditional street track race.
Through the woods.
Yeah. I mean, just like what rally car is all about, mm-hmm. you know? It's not NASCAR, which is boring. It's not IndyCar, which is boring. And it's not super sim, let's teach you how to go from 0 to 30 in 2.5 seconds so you can get your driver's license like Gran Turismo is.
Right.
Which is too much for me. I've never been a huge fan of that genre. I like a little arcade. So I'm excited about Dirt. Forza 2 is coming out, which is more of the sim aspect. You have like, you know, 300 cars to choose from. Mm-hmm. And
damage modeling.
Yeah, and more damage modeling and that kind of thing. So I'm pretty excited about those. Some of the negative things, Dirt. People are complaining because I think it's only like 30 frames per second, so some people are noticing that. I don't care about that. I mean, movies are in 29.97 frames per second, so...
Is it fun? Sure.
Yeah, that's all that matters is gameplay to me. And it looks fun. So that's what I'm excited about. Is there anything on the 360 that you've seen? You've been looking at that wireless Wii a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I think if Dirt comes out and then if Forza 2 gets great reviews, I might want to buy them both of them. And then if... Yeah, I've been holding off on a racer because Need for Speed Carbon, I don't know if I really want that. And so if Dirt and Forza 2 are awesome, I might wind up getting the wireless wheel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the bonus is if you get the wireless wheel, you get Project Gotham Racing with it.
Yeah, but that'll never come out of the plastic.
Oh, whatever, man. Those other ones. You'll play it. It's a good game. You'll get bored of those other ones eventually.
Yeah, we'll see. And then if...
And actually, I think you have to put it in because that has the drivers for the wheel.
Oh, fired. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Spore is going to be released for console.
I know for sure it's going to be on the computer, and he's mentioned that it may spread out. I know you're super excited about Spore. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in the wait-and-see mentality because he's burned me so many times with his games.
Oh, because SimCity was so disappointing, or what?
No, he just promises the world, and then you play it, and it's like, well, yeah, it can, like... I can take out the trash, or, you know, I can grow this monster and control cities, but... You only do that for so long, and then you do need some like linear, good gameplay to keep things going.
Yeah.
But Spore, I have hope for. I'm going to wait and see. I'll let you spend your money, and
okay,
you'll let me know how it is.
I'll leave you in the dust, man. You'll be sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, lately I have been into also playing some 360. We beat Gears 2 weeks back.
Yes.
That was nice.
If you don't have Gears yet for the 360, just go buy it. Don't wait for it to come in used. It's totally worth every dime.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. But I've been doing a little reading. Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere. I finished that one. And I've read some of his other stuff, too, like American Gods and also been checking out the Sandman comic book series. Mm-hmm. So those are all excellent. Yeah, but Neverwhere just really blew me away. It was just perfect.
So what did you like about it?
I guess it's just the mood. Mm-hmm. You know, basically it's just like when a writer just kind of creates a world, you know, if I take a snapshot of that and think of, wow, this is original and it's interesting and it's cohesive and do I buy into it, then yeah, I just really get into it. And so the premise is that this guy in London basically stumbles across this girl who's part of the London Underground, and there's sort of an undercity beneath London where like the subway tunnels are and the sewers, and all the people throughout London's history that have kind of slipped through the cracks, like the homeless and some of the soldiers that went AWOL during the 1600s, and you know, just World War II people, and just all these different weird magical characters and stuff have all kind of filtered down into this underworld,
mm-hmm.
and they're all down there like fighting and struggling, and all these political intrigue is happening, and he gets kind of drawn into that. But it was just very cool. So if you like any of the, like if you like any of the Sandman comics or anything like that, then you would definitely appreciate this. And the book was a really good read, so I enjoyed that. Yeah, it was good. Oh, and Heroes comes back tonight.
Yes, very excited. HD this time around. Ryan's got his HD DVR now, so no commercials. Still in HD.
Right.
It's Heroes is just I mean, that's such a good show.
It took me so long to buy into it.
Yeah, you just like kept holding back.
I was like, this isn't as good as Lost. Yeah. This isn't as good as Battlestar. But
and then those shows started to wane, and Heroes started picking up.
Yeah, Heroes got more interesting. So
yeah, I was a fan from the beginning, but I had to convince you. But you saw the wisdom of my ways.
You were right. You were right again. So yeah,
at least,
I don't even know if it's that good. It's just better than anything else that's on. So
well, it's just like a nice. To me, it's like if you ever saw Unbreakable. You know, it's probably what Unbreakable should have been as a series, where, you know, it's kind of like the everyman superhero, where, you know, everybody's discovering their powers. If you haven't started watching Heroes, you know, go get, I don't know if the DVDs are out yet, probably not,
no.
Still season one, I guess, but you can catch some of the old episodes online, I think, or get the torrent of the seasons, but very cool show about superheroes and kind of more of an everyday approach instead of the, like, spandex and cape mentality, though they may end up going that way, I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, I've never really checked out much of The Office, but I think recently I've caught a few, and I'm starting to really appreciate it for what it is.
Great, yeah. So. I caught into that in the second season, partway through the second season, and man, it's just so funny. They find those stereotypes, but they don't like make it too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where like some shows, you know, you have the guy who's this, the funny one or the stupid one, or you know, they all have like that role, but they all kind of blend into other roles too. And
right,
and the whole documentary reality TV point of view thing is just classic, man. It's I love it. Well, that's going to wrap up this week's Angry Admins, another show on its way to the tubes. We do have a website. Some of you seem to have forgotten about it. So go check it out, angryadmins.com. We have our show notes, links to the stories we've talked about, and we also have a link to our forum where you can discuss the show or anything else you would like to talk about. Go ahead and go there, and maybe we can get some content on there for you. Otherwise, you can subscribe to our show via iTunes or through basically any feed reader you want to choose. We have the raw RSS up there, so go to town with it. Write your own if you want. But that is going to be it for this week. My name is Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Guys, stay angry.